Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The very idea of judging carries the meaning to judge in order to find something good. Not something bad, something good.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We'll continue our study of the book of 1 Peter today as Pastor takes us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, and he shares with us a message called Staying Clean in a Corrupt Society.
1 Peter chapter 1, we've been preaching on the whole theme of making a difference. This is our theme for the year, and picking the general epistles. This fall we preached through James, and now we're into 1 Peter, and I preached a series of many other messages about the whole idea of being hope-filled in hurtful times, because our world is hurting. And God says, I'm going to give you hope to do that. And we preached about that in the first couple of verses. And then a few weeks ago, we preached on the idea of smiling when you are in suffering times, in times of suffering, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And we finished with the idea in verse 12 that God had given this salvation through the prophets, by the Holy Spirit, and even through the apostles, people that went before us and taught truth, that led us to verse 13 through 21. These are the verses that emphasize today's message called Staying Clean in a Corrupt Society. And Peter makes this emphasis through what I think to be some very simple statements. This is where you find Peter in 1 Peter 3 giving for the believers five incentives to help us live purely in an impure world, a clean in a corrupt world, and helping us to maintain a different lifestyle. These are the five. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, here's the first incentive, that you would realize the return of Christ is an incentive to help you live clean in a corrupt society. In other words, he says the idea, the revelation of Jesus Christ, look in verse 13, is another expression for the living hope or the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christians live in the future tense. Their present actions, their decisions are governed by that future hope. So like an engaged couple makes all their plans in light of the future wedding, Christians today live for the expectation of seeing Jesus Christ. That as obedient children, now he's changing terms, saying, listen, you're an obedient child, and because you're an obedient child, don't conform yourself, look at the Bible, according to the former lusts, the former passions that you lived in your ignorance. That's a great term, in your ignorance. You know what he's saying is? The unsaved world, they don't know any better. They're in ignorance. They just don't know any better. This is why Peter says, you know what an incentive is? Your incentive is really the holiness of God. This is what the context is when he says, don't live in the former passions of your ignorance, but as you which have been called to be holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in every walk, in every way of your life or your conduct, because it is written, and he quotes here Leviticus, he says, you be holy as I'm holy. And he takes an Old Testament concept and he makes it a New Testament truth. And what is this? And let me tell you something. This is where a huge difference is between multiple religions, as well as a lifestyle that you look at. What is Peter saying? He very simply making the statement, the argument here is logical and simple. Children inherit the nature of their parents. God is holy, therefore, as his children, we should live holy lives. We are partakers of his divine nature. Now, what does that mean? Okay, I got to be holy? When I was a kid, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thinking, what's holy? What does that mean? It means you're different. And now I'm being told, Peter's saying, listen, I'm going to be in my world and be holy. so that I'm different. It starts in the inside with my spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in my spirit as a child of God. So I'm going to be different in my own conversations and what I say, my own contact and what I do, because now I've been taken out of contact with anybody. And Peter's saying, I don't want that. I want you to be in a place that you had been imitators of that old world. You were fashioning yourselves around the standards and pleasures of the world. Don't end up living that. Don't let them conform you, because you're going to make them feel bad. I don't want you to make me feel bad, so I'm going to make you just like me. And there's a whole philosophy that is being taught even through scriptures. Well, you know, the end justifies the mean. I'm going to be just like you so that I can reach you. It's flawed. It doesn't work. Peter says, hey, listen, you be holy. But I'm not saying go live away from everybody and don't have any contact. You know what that comes with? That comes with risks. I'll put it down to practical level. You know what that means? That means that if I took this outfit 100 years ago, I'd look weird. If I took this outfit and maybe went to another country, I don't think it's like, okay, I shouldn't end up looking like I live in 2010. But if I look, when I end up losing my ability to be a Christian, there are two basic overriding principles in this. For the men, he says, you're a man. You look like a man. Be a man. And for a woman, he's saying, yeah, but you also end up living in modesty. So now you and you both are Christians in a world that you live in every day with your neighbor and your friends and your coworkers and people you see every day. They look at you and they don't look at you like, whoa, nice 1890 garb, nice hairdo, hair bob job right up here, man. Wow. Do you think they're going to rush up to you and go, yes, I want to be just like you. Hoo-hoo. Give me a bed sheet. I don't think so. But do you also think they're going to be able to race up to you and say, hey, you know what? I saw you Friday night at the club. Yeah, we were clubbing together, remember? You think that's what God's talking about? That's exactly what happened in Galatians when you had a group of people that said, I have this grace. I guess I can take this grace and I can live the way I want to live. That's called licentiousness. That's called you're taking what freedom you have in Christ and using it to your own advantage. You think you're going to have freedom? Go, hey, yeah, I mean, let's go dance. That's what we're going to do. Hey, man, let's dance. And oh, yeah, and by the way, hey, come on over to church with me because Jesus loves you. Really? Man, you're no different than I am. Does this make sense to you? Hey, yeah, I'm just like the world. So you know what? I'm going to drop myself in debt so deep I can never get out. Well, because everybody else is. Because that way, if I'm gone and I'm a Christian, then Antichrist is going to have to pay for all my debts. That's one way you can look at it. What Peter is saying, listen, and I'm going to go why he's saying this, so don't lose me. I'm going to tell you, when I start touching on this, here's what you talk about, the holiness of God. How in the world do you end up confirming and reaffirming the holiness of God? I'll give you a practical example. That teenager that says, hey, you know what? I know my friends are going to clubs. I'm a Christian now. I used to do that all the time. And man, I don't feel comfortable in there anymore. They're doing it out of their ignorance. And they want me to be their friend, and I want to be their friend, but man, I'm sorry, guys. I just don't want to go. Come on, man. I just don't feel comfortable. Listen, you get back later and you want to watch a video together? Okay. And so now they all take off and he ends up staying at home. You know what he is? He just communicated holiness. He's just different. And the fact is, you think, well, people aren't going to respect you for that. They'll think you're weird. They're odd. You're trying to stiff arm. Listen, as a Christian, when you become a Christian, you don't need to worry about your friends, whether they're going to cut you off or that, well, should you cut them off? They're going to slowly cutting you off and they'll respect you for it. Acts 5:13, because the Bible very simply is clear. When those believers were getting saved, the outside world said, we don't want to join you. But the Bible also says that they magnified them. The unbelievers lifted them up and they respected them because they were different. There's a reason for this, but I touch on this because I don't hit this very often. You might say, man, this guy, man, he's like hitting on this thing. Rarely do I hit on this, but I'm saying this because for you as a believer in Christ, you know what Peter's burden for them is the same as mine, to say, you know what, you have a difference for a purpose so that you will then be able to give people the honest, genuine gospel truth. This is why Peter's saying it. So they'll know there's something different. So as he goes on, and I mentioned 1 Peter 4 when he made the statement, listen, they know you're not going to have the same excess of riot. They're going to speak evil of you because they know you're different. Now, if you've got those two, you've got key concepts that lead to the third incentive. Notice, if you would, in verse 16, when he made the statement this way, when he quoted, it is written. And you know what he's talking about there? The incentive beyond the holiness of God is the Word of God. In other words, when I mention the holiness of God, don't be like everybody else. You be different. And the Word of God is given to us. He quotes that because that's the authority for the believer. It's a sword for our battle. It's a light to guide us. It's a water to wash us. It's food to strengthen us. And he quotes out Leviticus 11:44, so that the Word of God they possessed was out of the Old Testament and gave to us a New Testament so that we could end up living life today. And you know what the simple point is? Use God's truth for maturity. That God's truth is what's going to give to you. So it's not, well, man, the church said this, or the pastor said that, or, you know, my neighbor told me this, or I even Googled holy, whoosh. And man, I'm going to tell you something. You be careful what you pull up on the web, because man, there's all kinds of wacko stuff out there. This is why he says it is written. It's the Word of God. That's what helps you using God's truth. Number four, he also mentions, notice if you would, the judgment of God. What is this judgment? Notice what he says, verse 17. He's giving us an incentive. You go, an incentive, the judgment? Yeah, it's awesome. Look, if you call on the Father, do you remember he mentions obedient children, verse 14? If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, in other words, hey, he's not going to decide, oh, you're this color, you're this age, or you're this person, or this amount of money. No, he's judging according to every man's work. The very idea of judging carries the meaning to judge in order to find something good. Not something bad, something good. He's saying to these believers, listen, the judgment of God is not about the judgment of a believer's works for salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation, except that that salvation ought to produce good works. Our sins have already been judged on the cross, and therefore they can't be held against us. So because they're not held against us, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that bema seat. And Peter's saying, listen, understand that you can be motivated, and the incentive is that someday you're going to be in a place that God will end up judging your work to see all the good things you have done, because what Christ did in you, you're doing it for others, and he's going to reward you for this. He's going to put you in a place of saying, this is so good. Thank you so much for saying no to yourself so many times on that earth, and so many times yes to people, because you love them because I loved you. Oh, man, this is the judgment of God that I want to be plugged into. You can't lose your salvation at that judgment. We can lose our reward. And you know, Peter's saying, hey, I don't want you to lose your reward. Realize this world's going to come quickly to an end. And the judgment of God, very simply, is an opportunity for you to have a payday someday. It's coming.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.